are listening to a free version of Majority Report with Sam Steeder. To support this show and get another 15 minutes of daily program, go to majority.fm, please.
The Majority Report with Sam Steeder.
It is Wednesday, December 6, 2017. My name is Sam Steeder. This is the five-time award-winning Majority Report. We are broadcasting live steps from the industrially ravaged Gowanus Canal in the heartland of America, downtown Brooklyn, USA. On the program today, Washington Post political reporter Dave Weigel, live from Bama, Alabama, on the imminent Roy Moore, Doug Jones race. Meanwhile, in Washington, Trump recognizes Jerusalem as the Israeli capital, causing, obviously, or soon to cause, I would imagine, great consternation in Arab and European countries, and also making the United States no longer a fair broker. Meanwhile, ACA fix and chip renewal may be falling apart. Trump administration set to restrict food stamps. We got massive wildfires in South Carolina and time to go. Up to four senators now call for Al Franken's resignation in the wake of more sexual harassment accusations. FEMA workers may have to pay to work. Mick Mulvaney is already dismantling the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. China is beating us. They're laughing at us. And lastly, Congress set to pass concealed carry. Just, what are we, weeks from the largest mass shooting incident in this country? We're weeks from the largest and weeks from what, the second largest? All that and more on today's program. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome. It is, as you know, it is Wednesday, December 6th. I'm a little bit under the weather, so please forgive me. It's been a little bit exhausting the past couple of days. Not going to talk too much about it today.
You need some supplements.
Yeah, I need some supplements. But we will do a greater accounting later in the week. Of just what's going on. But I want to say, I want to say thank you to all of the people who have been incredibly supportive of this program, both by becoming members, by donating, by tweeting out stuff, by simply sending emails or texts. I mean, I've gotten, it's been incredibly gratifying. I think I said this probably multiple times on the show yesterday, but it really has been like attending your own funeral. Because frankly, I don't think I'm going to have this many people at my funeral that have been, I don't. So this is it. My funeral is going to be a bit of a letdown. That's a little bit sad.
I was just thinking of Matt being like, "Who's a pretty good guy?"
Yes,
I think Matt's rousing.
I feel like Matt,
decent enough boss, made the occasional good point. Thanks.
Let's hear first from Mike Huckabee, who was brought on to Fox and Friends this week. Weird times, ladies and gentlemen. He's on Fox and Friends. Apparently, he's being shot from his house in wherever he lives, but he's got a weird section of his house with strange portraits. Well, not strange, but family portraits. But it also seems like they've created some type of dungeon. I mean, that is a made up set. There is no part of his house that looks like that.
This is the same TV corner he's used for years.
Oh, is that right?
So I think he just has a permanent, like, remote window.
Come Let Us Reason Together. He's got a little plaque, I guess, presumably to remind him, but of course he's looking away from it at all times. So, but here he is, ostensibly brought on to comment on declaring Jerusalem as an Israeli capital because of Huckabee's large experience in foreign policy.
The Pope is actually weighing in on this, and he's saying it is about peace or a lack of peace. He said this is not going to help the peace process. I was shocked by that because I thought the Pope, of all people, would support Israel. What were your thoughts?
I was a little surprised, but this Pope has taken some very interesting positions on a lot of things. I'm not Catholic, so I guess it's not fair for me to try to judge what the Pope said. But the Pope, this is a bold statement, Pope is wrong about this, just pure and simple. The Pope is wrong because he cannot point to the fact that this city, Jerusalem, has ever been the capital or the home base for any people other than the Jewish state. It just hasn't. It's been their capital singularly in 4,000 years of the time that this city has existed since King David. It's just that simple.
If anything, it's only been occupied by others at different periods of time. That's right.
It's been occupied, but it's been the capital for the Jewish state.
Yeah, and by the way, the Pope doesn't seem to like America very much. It certainly doesn't seem to like President Trump very much, in my estimation.
Wow. All right. I mean, we know that... I mean, I don't know. There's been a Jewish state since 1948. And there are, you know, I guess his argument is since the introduction of nation states that this has been a capital or that they didn't use the term capital.
He said something about 4,000 years, so I don't know. Nation states have only been around what?
Not 4,000 years. 200? I mean, yes, there were Jews in Jerusalem. Certainly, I don't know exactly 4,000 years ago, but over the years. But there also have been non-Jews who have been living in Jerusalem for at least 4,000 years. And we had we talked to a documentary filmmaker some time ago, Benny Bruner, on this program about the culture, Palestinian culture, libraries, institutions that existed in Jerusalem prior to 1948. So that is just simply a fabrication. But it is wholly irrelevant, too, to this question as to whether or not it's going to create more problems in that region than it will solve. I mean, I think that is... I mean, time will tell, but there's no argument that is even being offered by those who support Jerusalem as the capital that this is going to help the situation, right? It is always some type of moral righteousness that they make up or some notion of, well, 4,000 years ago, Jews happened to write about being in Jerusalem. So that's how, of course, you determine whether or not the United States should recognize Jerusalem as a capital. But that's the kind of analysis you get when you go to Huck. What was the name of the show? Was it Huck?
Might have.
Huckster?
The Huckster Zone.
The Huckster
Zone. It's nice to have a Pope that hates America, though.
Yes.
I hate America very much. Where is Bin Laden when you need him? Rest in peace.
Folks, there was an attempt to scare off advertisers from this program, as you know, over the past week with, and I won't go into all the details, but so I particularly appreciate our advertisers, particularly at this time. But also, I got to say, I've tried this out. I haven't, of course, been on a vacation in quite some time. And usually it's either to Worcester or Michigan. So I don't necessarily need tripping. But I checked out the website, and it's super easy to use. Apparently, the average family visits 5 websites before booking a vacation rental. I'm not surprised by that. You can spend less time planning your next trip and more time relaxing with Tripping.com, the world's number one site for vacation rentals. Whether you're looking for a cabin to get away for New Year's Eve, planning your next beach vacation in Hawaii, or that vacation in Europe where you'd like to live a local, or I should say live like a local, Tripping.com can help you find the perfect place to stay. Vacation rentals offer flexibility, perks, amenities that hotels don't, like multiple bedrooms, backyards, hot tubs, Michael, free Wi-Fi, and even fully stocked. I don't know why it occurred to me.
There's a lot of implications about hot tubs.
When I hear hot tubs, I think Michael. When I hear fully stocked kitchens, I hear Matt, just because you don't want to go out and shop, right?
Yeah, but he also doesn't want to
cook. You should think of delivery.
That's true, too. Yeah.
Yeah, Matt's a deep.
Yeah, I was going to say, so you can have a quick bite on the go and plan your own meals. With Tripping.com, one search lets you filter, compare, and sort over 10 million available properties on trusted sites like VRBO, TripAdvisor, Booking.com, and more. Don't worry if you're getting, you don't have to wonder if you're getting the best deal, because you're going to save an average of 18% per night by booking your vacation with Tripping.com. So don't forget, if you want to save time and money while booking the perfect vacation rental for your next trip, head to Tripping.com/majority. That's Tripping, TRIPPING.com/majority. Tripping.com/majority. And
I'm going to use it, no doubt.
I'm
really excited.
If I ever get a chance to go on a vacation that doesn't involve like visiting my parents or my in-laws.
Well, I do, and
maybe it's time we actually don't stay.
I create those opportunities for myself frequently, so I will keep you posted on my testing of the products.
I'm looking forward to that. Meanwhile, you know my favorite toothbrush. I was so when I saw the, you know, because it's hard to see who's not booking the ads because you just don't know. But when I saw Quip here, I was super psyched because Quip, as you know, I have recently, probably in the past 2 or 3 years, become a little bit obsessive about dental hygiene. And Quip is the perfect gift because A, they're going to use it every day that you give it to them. B, you don't have to go to a store and get it. Ships directly to your door or theirs. And C, it's $25. So it's not, you can be on the top end of the Secret Santa thing. It's a great gift. With Quip, you don't have to worry about getting new brush heads or toothpaste. They're delivered right to your door on schedule, so you replace your brush on time and you have better oral hygiene at an affordable price. With the sleekest design you've ever seen for an electric toothbrush. You can put this in your little daub kit and take it on the road, and it's basically the size of a regular toothbrush. That's what I love about it, because the key, and I say this every time, when you brush your teeth, you got to do it all the time. You got to do it properly. The Quip toothpaste tastes fresh. It strengthens teeth, gives your mouth the perfect minty clean feeling. And I've said, you know, look, that's what a toothpaste is for. The whole myth that it actually cleans, no. It is to basically just make your mouth feel good. It's the toothbrush. Quip's subscription model is a thoughtful, inexpensive solution for people who want to make it easy to keep up with the simple habits that will improve their oral health. Let Quip do the thinking for you when it comes to your teeth. It will be love at first brush.
Man, that's another one I got to get on.
No charger.
Got to get a Quip.
No charger. That's no wires.
I'm on this one.
$25 right now when you go to getquip.com/majority. Getquip.com/majority. You get your first refill pack free with a Quip electric toothbrush. Your first refill pack free at getquip.com/majority. GETQUIP.com/majority. Check it out, folks. Lastly, today is going to be the first day that young Brendan gets to try Sherry's Berries. It came in. I told him no chocolate-covered strawberries until after you've eaten a good lunch. This is actually exciting. And I'm, you know, generally, like when we get the Sherry's Berries in the office, I freak out because I'm going to eat all of them. I don't care now. I'm so exhausted. This has been a tough week. I deserve it. I'm taking half the box. Sorry. I brought these home. My whole family devoured them in about 30 seconds. They're delicious. So you got to get gifts. Hanukkah's a week away. Christmas, Kwanzaa. You don't want to go out and shop. Man, you mix these two things, right? The Sherry's Berries, and then you brush your teeth. Bing. No matter who you're shopping for this holiday season, Sherry's Berries give you the perfect gift for everyone on your list. This holiday, my listeners can get fresh and delicious Sherry Berries dipped in white milk and dark chocolatey goodness. Oh my God. Starting at $19.99 plus shipping and handling. Or check this out. When you double the berries for just $10 more, your gift will include a free keepsake dessert platter. That's two gifts in one. Sherry's Berries has more than just berries. They've added amazing new holiday treats like snowman brownie pops, cheesecake Christmas trees, and artisanal chocolate truffles. Huge, I'm going to have a meltdown. Fresh, juicy berries topped with rich chocolate chips, chopped nuts, and signature swizzles.
Oh, my God.
Honestly.
Hello.
You can see, like, I'm getting all, like, I'm starting to freak out a little bit.
Look at my Twitter feed.
The gifts arrived and packaged in Sherry's Berries signature gift box. No wrapping required. An incredible, unique gift. Perfect for sharing. There's only one way to get this amazing $19.99 deal. This holiday, visit berries.com. Click on the microphone in the upper right-hand corner. Enter my code CEDER, S-E-D-E-R, at checkout. Remember, when you double the berries for just $10 more, your gift will include a free keepsake dessert platter. That's berries, B-E-R-R-I-E-S.com, code CEDER. All right, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to be talking to, oh my God, Dave Weigel from Washington Post. The Heart of Dixie. Is it the Heart of Dixie, Alabama?
Heart of Langley.
Maybe it's like maybe the
CIA operative.
It's, yeah, well, no,
the underbelly of Dixie.
Okay.
Deep state.
Left ventricle.
The left ventricle of Dixie. We'll be right back after this. We are back. Sam Seder on the Majority Report on the phone. It is a pleasure to welcome back to the program Washington Post national political reporter Dave Weigel. Did I get your title right?
Yeah, that sounds right. It's weird. Like, if you call me a staff writer, that's fine. If you call me a political reporter, that's fine. It's like you know, the Pope has like 10 titles. So use them, you're good.
Pope is not one of your titles. Is that my understanding?
No, that's not me. That's the other guy.
All right. So, Dave, you are in Alabama at the moment. Is that correct?
I'm in a very rainy Mobile, Alabama. I was with Roy Moore and Steve Bannon last night, in close proximity to them, and I'm heading back north, really about probably 4 hours, depending, to cover the Doug Jones campaign. So I'm doing it all.
All right, well, so give us your general sense. I mean, I've seen polling that has come out that seems to be more or less all over the place. But how would you characterize the polling that you're aware of, and then tell us what you get your sense from being on the ground there?
It's really good to be on the ground here, like more than usual, because this is a race that I have parachuted into since the summer. I came in kind of wistful for when I came in to talk to Doug Jones, and they said, "Hey, he's free in like 10 minutes. Just come over," which is not something he can do anymore, because no one gave him a shot. So people are fairly ashamed to admit they support Roy Moore unless they're in very rural areas where everyone supports Roy Moore. If you drive around, and lawn signs don't vote, but they're not useless. You drive around, I mean, you see places that everyone will tell me voted for Trump, and I'll check, and they voted for Trump, and you see Jones signs proudly in the front of people's yards. So it's one of these cases where everyone who wants to vote for Jones is, like, saying so, ringing alarm bells. They want people, the world, to know. But there is a big vote out there for Roy Moore that would have been a much bigger vote against for any other Republican. I mean, if I change my name and presidency and I became a Republican candidate and I didn't sexually assault anyone years ago, I'd probably be leading by like 15, 20 points.
Right.
So it is, but you have found in the last couple of weeks something, and Bannon, he didn't make it explicit, like Dean Young, who's a Mobile-based defender, ally of Moore, he made it explicit. You basically have people who want this to be a replay of the Exit Hollywood situation, where it breaks in the Washington Post a month before the election, and in the time between then and the election, people find a way to rationalize voting for the guy anyway.
I mean, that seems to be what happened in terms of Mitch McConnell. It seems what's happened with the RNC, right? Because McConnell has sort of backed off his threat that they would kick him out of the Senate if he got, or they wouldn't seat him. And the RNC is now kicked money back in after saying that they were pulling out.
And people, again, it's fun being here because Alabamians are very polite, at least to a reporter from the Washington Post who didn't expect a lot of politeness. I mean, even last night, this Moore rally, these are the hardest hardcore Moore supporters, and they're happy to talk to me. You know, they'll have like a joke about the Washington Post first, but they're very explicit. They had Moore done this stuff, they believe they wouldn't be voting for him, but you've seen in every poll, the horse race is one thing, but when you go down into the poll and Republicans are actually, they believe these allegations, they went from, 25% believing them to closer to 0% believing them. And part of that is like polling math. There are people who are independents who usually vote Republican. This is a state where you're not registered Republican. You just go in for whatever primary you want. People who were independents, they voted for Romney. They're not calling themselves Republican voters right now because they're a little bit ashamed. I mean, you're seeing that in a lot of places. And so the other thing I'd add is Moore was on track to win before this happened, but Moore has also been an embarrassing figure for like a suburbanite, college-educated right. Alabama conservative for a very long time. And those people were on the other side, so they're looking for a reason to bail on them, and they've had it, and they just want this thing to be over.
Interesting. And so, is your sense that Jones may be doing better than we get a notion of from polls, or not as well? I mean, it seems like there's those folks who are embarrassed to say that they're voting for Moore, but there's others who might not be identifying, as Republicans. So you can't get a full notion of just how sort of sincere the support is.
Yeah. It's harder than usual to determine because Republicans are basically a black box when it comes to what they're doing to support the guy. If you go to Republican offices, you try to find a phone bank, they existed before the scandal broke. It's hard to, they're not really opening it up now. Moore's campaign is very tiny. They have only a handful of full-time staffers. They have a lot of people you see on CNN defending him are not even in Alabama. They're just like conservatives who have known the guy and are calling in to help him out. It's very Trump-like, and I think despite the Virginia election, which kind of shook off a lot of trauma people had about, or liberals had about, man, maybe we're always going to lose elections. Maybe there's a secret vote that comes out and smashes at the last minute. That calmed a couple of nerves, but not a lot of them, because Moore has proven to have this base that will turn out in any election. The question is whether they have, whether the RNC is going to help turn people out and whether the Alabama GOP is actually going to turn these people out. And as we're talking, I don't think the Al Franken thing was actually affecting votes down here. There's this theory, I think Matt Iglesias from Vox and other people said, that there might be voters who are making excuses for Moore because of Franken. I do think for a day that's going to make some of those suburbanites say, man, all right, do I really want to be less ethical than Chuck Schumer? But not many. I mean, you just have a state where most voters want to vote Republican. It reminds me, frankly, I live in D.C. I moved there after Marion Barry. But a lot of it reminds me of the Marion Barry situation, where no matter what he was accused of, people did not want to replace him with a white Republican. And people here don't want to replace, don't even want for a couple of years, a pro-choice Democrat.
You've been in states where elections are 5 days away many times, I imagine. Are there mechanisms that you would see on the ground that you do or do not see now that would indicate that the Republicans are planning a big get out the vote effort, or no?
Well, not really, but this is the thing that always goes back to the Trump campaign, because if you were a savvy reporter, and I try to be, and you went to some of these states before a primary with Trump, you'd struggle to find organized Trump support. What's the thing Bill Mitchell said? His ground game is in our hearts. Everyone laughed at that, but that was kind of true. But here are the differences. Let's not trap ourselves in the phantom zone of 2016 forever, if we can. The difference here is Moore is a known quantity in Alabama. Before this, his last election, he was on the ballot with Mitt Romney. He only won by 4 points. Mitt Romney won by a lot more than that. So there are lots of voters who are used to not voting for this guy. The other thing is Doug Jones is not Hillary Clinton. He is pro-choice. And the one mistake people say agree he's made, Democrats I'm talking about, and people don't like to hear this, but they'll agree he goofed. He was on Meet the Press. He got another question about abortion, and he didn't answer it very artfully. He said, he didn't want to see any restrictions on abortion. So Republicans have used that to say he's too left-wing for the state, but they haven't had the money to say it on the air. And also, he's not Hillary Clinton, not just because there's not 30 years of people learning to hate the guy. I mean, last night I'm at this Moore rally, and I kind of pulled myself away from a voter I was talking to who had a bunch of transgender Hillary jokes, so I didn't realize they're still in fashion. Not just that, but I don't have any inside sources saying otherwise. I don't think the FBI is going to release a letter today saying they've opened a probe into his email, right? There's just there's not a black swan event that seems, geez, if you can have an unlikely black swan event, if I'm not ruining the metaphor enough.
Right.
Just like there are weaknesses he doesn't have that Hillary did.
And not to mention, he's not a woman, which is also, I think, a deficit that, it seems to me that Moore is activating, right, a certain mentality that, a certain mentality, particularly in respect to women. You have people justifying like, well, this is the way we do it down here. Old enough to set the table, old enough to eat or whatever it is. This attitude is, I think, activates also the sort of the flip side of that coin, which is, or maybe it's not a flip side, but the misogyny towards the other candidate, which obviously it's not going to be Doug Jones' problem. So what is Doug Jones now? What is he doing the next 5 days? How much? Let me ask you this: how much of an apparatus is there around Doug Jones? How much of an effort is there to not make it appear like it is being sent from Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer?
So the Alabama Democratic Party is like one of these houses in a really dilapidated part of town where you can get it for like $10,000, but you need to put $100,000 of work into it. They were really wiped out completely under Obama, and for reasons that probably take too long to get into on a show like this, like what happened all across the South, most of the white Democrats lost their races or got gerrymandered out. And black Democrats who have not won statewide ever, they kind of control the party apparatus. So Jones did exactly what you're supposed to do to win. He has helped the black Democratic conference in the state. He's given the money to get out the vote in the black belt, which is kind of Montgomery and a straight line towards Mississippi. He's done that, but he's otherwise had to kind of build a campaign from nothing, and he's had outside support, but it's not quite – I saw a lot for Ralph Northam in Virginia, and that's a state that has a good Democratic Party. It's not as much as that. It is. You see signs everywhere. It is not the same thing where you're constantly seeing digital ads and you see people going to phone banks. And, yeah, you'll stop by a phone bank and people are there, but it is not the – it's not the cause, like the cause of the year the way that Virginia race was, or even John Ossoff's race was. But, like, it's visible, and there's a lot of it. And when he shows up to places, he gets a crowd. He gave a speech yesterday to kind of reset the race and with a more kind of negative tone about Moore. He had 100 people show up on short notice, and Moore had, with, like, a week's notice and guest stars, about 300 people in a really Republican part of the state. So, like, that's the thing about this. It is not hitting people as this world struggle for supremacy in the Senate. And I think because that's hurting each candidate in different ways. I think it's probably more helpful to Jones that, you know, he wouldn't be like the vote who flips the Senate completely.
Right.
And it hurts more a little bit because there isn't making this kind of Calvin Ball argument that if Jones wins, that's one less vote for Supreme Court justices who you agree with, and that would be bad because then maybe Roe versus Wade wouldn't be overturned. And, like, it's something I've seen work in other races when Obama was president or when Nancy Pelosi was speaker. And here, it's like a push. It's not selling quite as well.
I mean, it's equivalent on some level to vote for Donald Trump because you'll get Neil Gorsuch. I mean, maybe not but you'll get that Supreme Court seat. There is no similar sort of, I guess, urgent appeal. And I mean, that's interesting. Yeah.
That's another thing. That's important. I mean, like, people are aware. People whose number one issue is they're conservative and they want the Supreme Court to be conservative, like, they'll vote for him, but it's not. They were willing to choke down anything because Trump was going to literally appoint a Scalia replacement. It's just like, it's not that visceral anymore.
That's interesting. And so, okay, lastly, let me ask you this then. And the Al Franken thing is obviously, like you said, it was not going to maybe make a big determination here as to what's going on. But have you heard anything? I mean, I know you're in Alabama, but in terms of Al Franken, I think we're now up to 10 senators, 11. It's been seven more, I think.
Did the point come in while you were talking to me?
Yeah. In fact, when we started the show, we were at 4 senators, and now there's 11 calling for him to resign. I mean, he can't.
I'm going to hold my breath until there's 13.
Well, I mean, that's right. I mean, right? I mean, it's over. He's going to have to resign.
Yeah, I mean, I've already seen, like, the smarter Republican spin artists say, this is my impression of them, well, the fact that they're all coordinating their responses proves that the fix was in, and this wasn't really sincere. It's like, nah, if he's gone, he's gone. He's gone
right.
Come Thursday, and actually, I'm kind of waiting. I'm, unfortunately, 5 hours away from where Jones is right now, but he's going to be doing avails today. He'll probably be asked, and he'll probably make a distinction, like what he thinks Franken should do, and unless he is surprised at all of us and saying he should stick around, he's probably going to say he should resign. Right. So what I found in Alabama, and I was in Ohio before that, and I've been traveling a lot the last 2 weeks. People are not necessarily aware of the political sexual harassment as the story. They're very aware of, like, Matt Lauer. They're aware of Harvey Weinstein. They're aware of Kevin Spacey. And then they're also aware that politicians who they didn't like anyway seem to be wrapped up in all this. But Alabama is different because I didn't see a lot of voters, and I'd ask, and, you know, it's maybe down the list. Even.
Nope, you there?
Replacement level. Are you still hearing?
Yeah, sorry.
Oh, I thought you said it earlier. The Gina Lowndes is like a replacement level Tea Party pundit who, you know, still gets so. She was referring to the Democrats as the party of Conyers and Wiener and Franken. And she mentioned Frank. It struck me that she mentioned Franken third. It still was not the, like, if you're in a studio in D.C. or New York, you're making this comparison that Franken exists and also Romar. And it's not quite selling here as much, but it would if famous comedian and then Senator Al Franken resigns in disgrace and Roy Moore's still running. I think most people who are going to vote for Moore, and by most, I mean like 95% will say, proves it. He did it, and Roy didn't. So Roy's a good man. I can still vote for him. But on the margins, I think that's going to help the Democrats.
Interesting. All right, and so let me ask you this. And I know you're obviously, I don't know how much reporting you've done on this, but in the event that you have, there's going to be a bit of a fight here, isn't there, right? Because we're going to have one set of people who are going to want Keith Ellison to be appointed to that position by a Democratic governor in Minnesota. On the other hand, there's like three or four women who, and I can't remember the positions they hold in state government, but who are in the pipeline on the state government side, who are considered to be very talented politicians. And there's, you know, there's a very good argument that we need more women in the Senate. And this is setting the sort of the grounds for another sort of fight. I imagine there are members of the DNC who are thinking maybe we should have voted for Keith Ellison for that position.
There might be. So I'm not in Minnesota right now. Right. I'm going to stick here for a while. There's good reporting in Minnesota about like who has the inside track on this. And I just have heard several different names. All of them, the thing they have in common is like people who the governor would appoint ahead of a 2018 election, assuming someone else runs. So Mark Dayton, the governor, was a senator for one term. He was notoriously not very good at being a senator, but he's been a good governor, and people don't know which side of the coin is going to go on. But everyone has an opinion. It would look good for him to appoint for one of these three women who are running for governor right now or the attorney general. It would be a little bit complicated. Rebecca Otto, who's the state auditor general who's running for governor, was one of very few people to call on Franken to resign like after the first story. And that might not have – that might give her an inside track, or it might backfire a little bit with people who were sad about this. The issue that is thorny, and why I'm deferring to like Minnesota reporters, is not all these people are as liberal as Franken. And I think there would be...
Oh, faded again. You there?
Amy Klobuchar. So there might be a primary if this is a candidate. If somebody replaces Franken, and let's say that somebody is a little more conservative and they vote with Mark Warner on this this Dodd-Frank reform,
right.
I think you're going to piss people off, because
right.
Franken was a rare, safe swing state progressive, among other things. I mean, this is like a kind of a massacre this week for iconic progressives, both between Franken and Conyers. And I don't know if Dayton has that in mind, or if, you know, Dayton's had 2 weeks to think about this.
Right.
There's a home run appointment. I mean, I remember David Paterson, who people did not think was a genius governor of New York, did probably like the smartest appointment he could with Kirsten Gillibrand in 2009. There's a way to do that in Minnesota. I'm not sure if Dayton will.
Interesting. All right. Well, I appreciate it, Dave. All right. One final question. You said you were in close proximity to Bannon. Does he smell? Do you want to not answer that question? His phone very cleverly cut out at that point.
It's the deep state.
We're getting some weird.
Hey, no, but I mean, seriously, Dave,
look,
does
I'm
Bannon
living in a suitcase for 2 weeks? I'm not going to cast aspersions on people.
All right, fair.
He was wearing several layers and a coat in a barn that was probably 70 degrees. So
has anybody figured out what that's about?
Wide enough to not notice.
Does he smell like he looks?
Has anybody figured that out yet, though? Why does he do that? Why is he wearing four layers in a 75-degree
No bar? One has. I mean, Olivia Nuzzi in New York actually investigated this, and you need to kind of get him in front of a camera, locked in a room, and just ask question after question to figure out why he does this. And like the banal answer seems to be that he thinks it's his thing. He picked it up when he was in military school and thinks it looks cool. You know, that's not his most controversial belief, so I'll let him have
right.
it.
Wrong.
Fair enough. All right, Dave Weigel, thanks so much for your time. I really appreciate it.
All right.
Thanks,
thank you.
Bye.
Yeah, that's definitely a wrong.
Frank in to make an announcement tomorrow.
Mm. Is that right?
Brooks to continue to restrain himself from this Franken impression he badly wants to do.
What, you want to do a Franken impression?
I do, but maybe I'll hold off on it.
All right.
Maybe not the voice, but some of the details that I've been cooking up
okay.
are pretty funny, but they might hit people
well,
the wrong
why
way
don't
right
we,
now.
Oh, okay.
Trying to be sensitive to the audience.
All right, fair enough. That's very sensitive of you.
I think we all need to be more sensitive to
let's each just
other.
Do a clip of Doug Jones, who is Dave Weigel just told us that on the campaign trail he's begun to get a little bit more pointed in some of his rhetoric about Roy Moore. Here is some of that rhetoric.
For equal work, and I damn sure believe that I have done my part to ensure that men who hurt little girls should go to jail and not the United States Senate.
That's great.
He's obviously referencing his time as a district attorney.
Well, I think he's also specifically referencing, and this is for mobilizing the African-American vote, prosecuting those KKK terrorists
yep.
who killed those little girls in a bombing. I mean, I know that, this guy in the Senate is not going to be like a thrilling senator for the left, but just the basic moral contrast here could not get higher in terms of these two candidates.
It's huge. And obviously, he is not the deciding vote, but 49 to 51 is a very different situation. And
he's not voting. I doubt he's voting for this tax package. I mean, look, Joe Manchin isn't voting for it. And this guy will be better than Joe Manchin. I will feel comfortable making that prediction.
I think that's true. I mean, Joe Manchin has been disciplined, I think, by the fact that Donald Trump is a raging cesspool of toxicity.
You know, Jenks, in between, you know, Donald Trump being a raging cesspool of toxicity and Chuck Schumer's Jew guilt, I'm really voting a lot more Democrats, Jenks.
I'm in a rock and a Jew place.
Yeah, I'm in between a narcissism swamp and a Jew guilt trip, man. It's very intense for a West Virginia boy, Jenks.
We're going to take a break ahead into the fun half in just a second, but before we do, let's just
by the way, sarcasm and satire, just to be clear.
Oh, is that what that was?
Yes.
You know, let me just say this, and this is sort of enough off point because I don't want to belabor this whole Cernovich thing. And like I say, on Friday, I'm going to take tomorrow off and Michael will be here. Friday, you know, we'll do a little bit more of a recap of this week and hopefully then put it to bed. Except for, of course, of the documentary, which we're working on, which I'm actually getting very excited about.
Got really, I'll tell you later, but I got a brilliant guy who's done a lot of Cernovich research has reached out about it.
Yes, yes, I know that. And also, you know, if people want to help with that project, one thing you can do is search for all those tweets, particularly on the 28th of November, the 29th of November, the 30th of November. I guess the 1st of December, take screenshots of all the tweets that reference this from Cernovich's perspective. Does that make sense?
Yes, that makes sense.
It's a project we're working on. I mean, that's actually that. You just take a screen grab, send it in. If you get 10 of them, great. You got 50 of them, great.
I think we need to. Look, if
we're doing
a...
We're doing wallpaper.
Right.
We're going to do a wallpaper.
I mean, if this guy is going to be MSNBC's informal ombudsman, I think we really need to know who he is.
Well said. But the other thing is that, you know, there's some people who have been talking about this as a dumb joke. I'm getting a little bit nitpicky here, but it wasn't a joke. A joke is a specific thing that has a construction. This was meant to be not unlike a, you know, Jonathan Swiftian satire.
Did you see Jeet Heer's tweet about that? It was like MSNBC fires contributor for advocating disgusting Irish baby eating proposal.
Yes. That's not a joke, right? It's satire. It is supposed to, you're suggesting something that is supposed to be so, is both shocking and ironic. And so that's what it is. I mean, because I just don't like the idea that it's judged on the context of a joke. Because I'm not, I mean, I've written jokes in the past, but I'm not a joke writer per se. I'm more of like a mildly amusing, I'm an amuser.
Now that's a good joke.
And this what I found also highly amusing. And in fact, it occurred to me that maybe this is a good guest for this program. But a guy named Robert McElvain, right? Am I saying that? McElvain. Was on CNN. He is a historian of the Great Depression. And he is making the case, and I think it's a very good case, that the Republican tax bill is unprecedented, at least in the post-Great Depression, but it is precedented in very close to the Great Depression. You'll hear a lot of reports, too, about this tax bill that are just, it has glitches and like just the physicality of it. There's writing, I mean, because they threw this thing together so quickly. But here is how he deals with Stephen Moore. Stephen Moore, of course, is the hack shill Heritage Foundation Trump economics. I mean, Trumponomics is probably the best way to say what field he works in. He's been doing this for a long time, but he's just honestly he's. And here is that segment.
Of Republicans then and now is take the method and try it. If it fails, deny its failure and try it again and again and again. Talk to us about that.
Yeah, well, at least for a little over a century, you go back to William Jennings Bryan in 1896 in his famous Cross of Gold speech. He said there are two contrasting views of how government and the economy should work. One is that you should make the people at the top richer and richer, and their prosperity will leak through on those below. Bryan said correctly that the democratic idea is the other way around, that you should try to make the masses prosperous, and then all those that are dependent on them will rise with them. And that's been the distinction ever since. He was talking about leaking through. That's the source of this term we now use of trickle-down economics, which we've had a couple of the Trump advisors just come right out and say recently, yes, I believe in trickle-down economics. Well, trickle-down economics has never worked. And the 1920s is a perfect example of that. The idea in the 1920s was the least government we can possibly have, the least regulation you can have, massive tax cuts. There were three different tax cuts in the 1920s. The Republicans were in charge of the government entirely during that decade, as they are at the moment, and they were able to do whatever they wanted. And what they wanted was mainly what was being pushed by the Secretary of the Treasury, Andrew Mellon, who was one of the richest people in the world. And Mellon pushed through these three tax cuts.
So, Robert,
the most important of which was the Revenue Act of 1926.
Robert, you got to start.
And what it did was very much what this current Republican bill does.
Stevie's not
going to
stop. He's not stopping.
In fact, Republican Senator George Norris of Nebraska said at the time that this bill would give more tax benefits to Mr. Mellon himself than the aggregate of almost all the people in his state.
Here's
and it's the same thing now. Mr. Trump and all sorts of other very wealthy people get by far the vast amount of benefits from this.
All right,
Trump says, oh, this is going to kill me.
Thank you all. That's impressive. I'll see you back tomorrow. Bye.
No.
This isn't fair.
This isn't fair. Wait a second. He's just told all this actual history, and I didn't have my chance to get sling my bullshit.
I didn't have a chance to lie about it. Done. Do That's something.
It. First off, I'm quite convinced that McElvain's earpiece was out.
Yes.
But if it wasn't, he's brilliant. He's a brilliant genius.
Total genius. I want to give him the credit of saying that it was not out because that is the best cable news hit I've ever seen in my life.
It's not the easiest thing to do to sort of just continue to talk while they're still talking. And he, But the bottom line, but
it's like Steve Moore was an idiot kid in his office being like, a libertarian explanation of the Depression. He's just like, okay, young man, here's how it happened.
Right,
blah,
exactly.
Blah, 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 and blah, blah, blah. Yeah. Blah, blah, blah.
Bring out
blah,
your
blah,
notepad.
Blah. Yeah, yeah.
But the idea that they have been hawking this trickle-down economics, and we've just seen it in Kansas. We had a four-year experiment. The perfect opportunity to try this out. They cut all the taxes in 2012 under Sam Brownback. They brought in Arthur Laffer. Obviously not the creator of trickle-down economics, but the man who brought us the Laffer curve, which is sort of the theoretical support for the concept of trickle-down. They brought him in to work out what the tax plan should be. They passed it, they implemented it, and then a Republican legislature 5 years later was like, we need to reverse this because we've destroyed some of the best public infrastructure this state has. They destroyed their education system, their public university system. They had massive, massive deficits. And remember, a state is different than a country. It cannot print its own currency. They didn't expand their tax base like they thought. They did the same pass-through thing that the Republicans want to do on a national level. And all that happened is more people created more S-corps, more LLCs to avoid taxes. Their economy did not grow at a pace of all their neighbors. They significantly underperformed jobs increases relative to their neighbors. In every single metric, in every both qualitative and quantitative metric in Kansas, trickle-down economics failed. So what do you do? Well, of course, let's do this on a national level. And then maybe all of us, like Sam Brownback, who has now been appointed ambassador to ether, he's now the ambassador to religion, ladies and gentlemen. I don't know where he just floats above the country somewhere and greets angels. That's what they're going to have to do when they pass this tax bill. Don't forget, folks, I mentioned this earlier. Just because I don't get to go anywhere nice doesn't mean that you can't. Tripping.com lets you filter, compare, and sort over 10 million available properties on trusted sites like VRBO, TripAdvisor, Booking.com, and more. Don't wonder if you're getting the best deal on New Year's Eve cabin or a winter beach vacation. Save an average of 18% per night by booking with Tripping.com. Bottom line, to save time and money while booking the perfect vacation rental, head to Tripping.com/majority today, folks. Tripping.com/majority. All right, we're going to take a quick break, head into the fun half. Again, thank you so much for becoming members of this program. Thank you for your support. I honestly, even for someone who is so at arm's length from his emotions, it has been really moving and gratifying to me. I can't get over the support and the kindness that you people have showed me and this program. I mean, and I know a big part of it is also just sort of saying like, our media outlets cannot be taking their staffing decisions on the cue of right-wing charlatans.
I have ideas on how to staff media. Also rape, dating,
he's come out,
and pizza.
He said to CNN today, I've been emboldened. Of course he has.
And MSNBC's like, is there anything else you'd like to run by us? You have any other comments on satire, media standards, Pizzagate guy?
I have heard they're actually letting him pick out the specials at the commissary.
Yeah. Oh, commissary, the cedar word.
Boom. All right, folks. See you in the fun half. 646-257-3920. 646-257-3920. The I am, Well, you can IM us through our app, which you can pick up at majorityapp.com. It's totally free. You might as well do it. Oh, don't forget, justcoffee.coop, fair trade coffee, tea, or chocolate. You have a week and a day or two to order your Just Coffee and get 30% off with the code MRHOLIDAY. Last night, the Michael Brooks show, a cavalcade of progressive and left-wing guests. You can check it out on iTunes or on YouTube. See you in the fun half.